Okay. Let's make sure this is working here.
Oh, I like that.
Anybody find me somebody to
love?
Oh, but you got
to
be
if
the
bass. If you'd like to make a call, please.
I wanted to make a call. All right. That's great for sound check.
That's great sound check audio.
Thank
there.
You.
Should we call John DeCoven?
Fuck it. Start it.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to walk in.
We're just going to do this.
He'll come in like the Kool-Aid guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need that on for the visual.
All right. Well, it's all on.
Okay.
I'm not looking today. I turned off the monitors because it was distracting last week.
Yeah, it was distracting.
It was distracting.
And then I was watching it later, and I'm thinking, what's the point? We don't do magic. We don't show anything. It's like, what's the point? And you were on the bottom, little tiny, and my fat ass is right there on the big. What's the point? Yeah. Who's the star?
Where's your head?
Oh.
Yeah!
Cool as
Hey, Robin, I'm thirsty. What do you got?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Are we out of orange juice? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Mom won't let me drink that.
What? Kool-Aid! A little bit.
All right. That was good. I like that. That was good. That was good.
Hi, John.
What's happening? Are you on the air?
We are on the air. We've been doing this.
Well, no, not officially. We haven't started the show yet, but we're just.
We waited for you.
But we're ready to go.
Oh, and you say four, you mean four.
Well, usually you're here early.
No, I know.
And Parviz was suggesting
that's what
that
she said.
Parviz was I'm just moving right on through. I see the guy on the side of the road with the flags, it doesn't matter. I'm right on through. Parviz was suggesting that you would show up that we could just start and you would show up like the Kool-Aid guy.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. All right, so give me a little level there, Johnny D.
Test 1, 2.
All right, you sound good to me. I think we're ready to go. You got stuff to talk about there?
I don't hear anything. Let me see.
What did I tell you?
I don't know. I don't hear anything. I don't know.
There's the...
Do you hear us? Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. All right, good. Yeah. All right. Let's see. We're turning you off.
Sorry. Can I get a quick beverage while you're doing your stuff? Because you don't need me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Watch your feet.
Yes.
It always trips on that cord.
All right. This is show number 80. Hard to fucking believe, but this is our 80th show. And so there you go. So we're going to start the bad boy in. Sound like I was getting ready to start a motor there. 3, 2, 1.
This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It's our big 80th episode, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 14th of April, 2010.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A group of 40-year-old buddies discuss where to meet for dinner. They agree on the Gastoff Zoom low-end restaurant because the waitresses have low-cost blouses and nice breasts. 10 years later, at 50, the group again discuss where to meet. They agree on the Gastoff Zoom low-end restaurant because the food is very good and the wine selection is fantastic. 10 years later, at 60, the group discuss where to meet. They again agree on the Gastoff Zoom low-end restaurant because it's quiet. 10 years later, at 70, the group again discuss where to meet. They agree on the Gastoff Zoom low-end restaurant because it has wheelchair access. Finally, 10 years later, at 80, the group again discuss where to meet, and they agree on the Gastoff Zoom low-end restaurant because none of them have ever been there before.
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
So son of Easta, my friends. A son of Easta, and welcome. You've managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is our 80th episode, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 14th of April, 2010, the day before tax day here in the United States of America. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm not the tax collector. No, I am your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And I am thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you here with us. I'm a little rusty. It's been a few weeks since I've been here, but we got a great show for you today, guaranteed. We got tons of stuff going on in the news. Well, of course, if you're regular readers of the blog, and it turns out apparently not many of you are, even if you're part of the show. But if you're regular readers of the blog, you know that I have been working my little fingers to the bone there on the old keyboard. First putting up a review of the iPad, based on absolutely nothing, since I don't own an iPad. I've never actually seen or touched an iPad. Don't know anyone who has. But that didn't stop me from publishing a review, which then got picked up by Max Surfer and generated a few comments from people who were unhappy that I thought that I could write a review about something that I knew nothing about. Of course, it was called our Know Nothing Review, but that didn't stop people. Also involved with the whole I Am Olbermann, Keith Olbermann Twitter thing, and I wrote a little 1,500-word article about that we can talk about today. But apart from me, all kinds of stuff going on in pop culture, technology. We got Conan O'Brien, who's landed at TBS. We want to talk about that. We got a new book about Oprah, everyone's favorite afternoon talk show host, coming in just above Schnauzer Logic. Oprah, the Kitty Kelly book about Oprah. I want to talk about that. We got some stuff going on here in the United States. The president has basically announced that the United States is no longer going to be doing manned space flights. And this has taken Neil Armstrong out of self-imposed retirement. He really never talks about anything. Wasn't even around for the anniversary of the moon landing. And not in any major way, but he's decided to complain about this publicly. So we got a little bit of that going on. Plus, all kinds of other sort of stuff and nonsense. But before we continue, let's push down the buttons here and say, son of Easta, the man on my left, your right, if you're watching us on the TV, you know I'm loving him, you can't get enough of him. He is the proprietor of Bonjo's Comedy Pizzeria Parlor and 20-minute oil change, Mr. John DeCoven.
Yes. Son of Easta, my friend. Son of Easta. That's the first time I've done that.
Son of Easta, John.
How are you, partner? Oh, good. No, sorry. How are you, Robin?
Good. How are you? You got a little bit of something on your lip here.
Little Schmitz?
Just a little sweat. A little sweat.
Maybe I was doing a little blow.
Okay. On your lip? That would not be use of it. All right, we'll let you get warmed up here because I can tell that you're still getting into character. And on my right, your left, Karen, the man you know you love, you can't get enough of him, Mr. Parviz Vitali. How are you?
Good. That's my lead-in?
So I said Son of Easta, my friend.
No, you said Mr. Parviz Vitali. We clapped. We never heard any Son of Easta, my friend.
Okay, Son of Easta, my friend.
Son of Easta, my friend. Son of Easta!
Wow.
I'm not complete without you.
I guess. And for those of you who are hoping for anybody else, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because I think that's pretty much the group today.
That's great.
I think, I couldn't be any happier. Yeah. Unless, of course, Sherry or Jeff or Jason
no
or
Jason.
Rachel or Sean or Susie or Dave or...
But other than that.
Well, we got this guy here. And, of course, Michael Zwirling.
Stroke or unload.
Dick Cheney. Harry Whittington. Whitney. Kenneth.
Home networking.
English, motherfucker.
There you go. Allie Waller. And him.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Of course.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
And, of course.
It's none of your business.
And this guy. We got to talk about him.
I'm Brian Cox.
There you go.
So you know, it's funny, that quote from Jerry Seinfeld, stop laughing, it's not funny.
Why did Tiger, was Tiger
always done?
He's always done before Brian Cox, right? Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I pushed the buttons very quickly.
But what I was going to say, which might have been maybe mildly funny a minute ago, might not work now. But I was going to say, when Jerry Seinfeld says, shut up, it's not funny, it fits his show Marriage Ref. But, you know, of course, that was from Michael Kramer. back when he was, you know, on Letterman.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, did we really?
Yes. Were you here?
I'm just reviewing.
Well, here's the thing.
Wait a second. I'm reviewing for the people that just joined us.
I know you don't listen to the show when you're not here, but I didn't realize that applied to the show when you are here.
Yeah.
And thank you for actually saying what I was going to say, because the audience would not have gotten the joke. So that's great. The Three Stooges is happening in the studio today. It's all curly all the time.
You may have to add Tiger's dad into the audio introductions.
Say? Well, you know about the Nike commercial with Tiger. You don't know about the Nike?
How could you not? Even my mom knows about the Nike commercial.
Listen. I don't know anything about the commercial. I haven't seen it, but I've heard that it was creepy or weird. But it doesn't mean I haven't seen it.
Well, it does mean you haven't seen it.
I guess technically that means you haven't seen it.
But tell me about it.
Well, I'm more interested in how it's possible that you were not able to be exposed to it. So
no, I know. Okay, hold on.
This commercial has been on. It's brilliant.
Not
Nike.
On TV.
It's been on every late night show a dozen times because they keep joking about
it. And making parodies.
It's every talk show, every news story. O'Reilly
right.
had it. Oberman had it.
Right.
I didn't see it, honestly.
Even I am Oberman had it.
I didn't see it, so could you please explain it to me?
So what is your daily consumption of electronic media?
Do you have a routine? No, I don't have a routine. Can I explain myself?
Can we stop you?
No. Listen, I saw a picture, a thing on the computer. You know, you go on to check your email. There's a picture of the days and news events. And I saw a picture of Tiger. And he looked black and white. And I think you press play and you
can see. That's racist. Yeah.
No, but listen. No, but my point is this. I saw that. I didn't even know what it was about. I just wasn't interested in clicking it to play. But now that you two are talking about it, I'm interested.
But do you watch Kimmel?
No.
Do you watch Letterman?
No.
Leno?
You watch Leno?
No.
You don't watch Leno.
You watch The Daily Show?
No.
Do you watch Talk Soup? Or now it's just called The Soup?
No.
Do you watch any news programs at all?
Yeah. I surf on the news program, but I don't watch parodies on a consistent basis. You watch The View? No, news programs.
So like what? Like
CNN, Fox, CNBC, news programs.
It's all on there.
It's remarkable.
But Ron Owens had two segments on it. I mean, it's remarkable. I just did it.
I cannot believe that we're... Come on, what's going on? What was it about?
You know, John Lennon is dead.
What?
I hate to be the one to break it to you.
What?
And
tell me there's not a Santa Claus.
And Yoko is still alive.
And,
Thank God.
Who killed him? You know that guy that calls
Carpenter,
into the talk
Carpenter,
show
Carpenter,
every
Carpenter,
once in a while?
Mark Chapman.
Mark David Chapman.
Yeah.
Mark David Chapman.
Okay.
Okay.
No.
Tell me about... We're getting off course. Okay. I want to know about the woods, because I'm sure there's two other people on this planet that haven't seen it.
Well, we probably should get into it more during a segment, right?
Yeah, I think we should.
But what I will tell you is Nike...
Well, the thing only runs for 30 seconds, so okay. You can tell them what it is.
What it is.
Go ahead.
Well, basically, Tiger's just standing there in black and white, as you say. And he's just sitting there looking like this dour face, whatever. And then they have his dad.
It's a black and white shot. He's standing on a golf course. It's soft in the background. It's shot in black and white.
Uh-huh.
It's just him. He's standing there. The camera slowly pushes in on him.
Uh-huh.
So he looks almost expressionless. And the camera is pushing in
like
very slowly.
Does.
Very slowly on him. And the audio track is his dad. Right? The late Earl Woods.
Okay.
Right. From when he was alive. Just in case you're confused.
Okay, but what happens?
He's saying it was clipped from, I guess, an old documentary or something.
Okay.
And I can't remember the exact words. Robin may have them there. But he's saying something that applies to Tiger's situation. But when he said it, it was for something totally different.
Okay.
It's like, Tiger, you know, this is your dad. I want you to know that I love you, but I hope that you'll learn from these lessons, you know, and that kind of thing.
Right,
so
right,
it's
it had obviously nothing to do with the infidelity. It had to do maybe with him potty training. And
yeah,
so,
exactly.
So they just morphed it to sound like it was about the infidelity.
Right.
Right. Right.
Exactly. And then at the end of this thing, and it, maybe he looks like he's beginning to hear up. It's not clear, but the camera slowly pushes in on him, right? So just very slowly keeps pushing in, and then it just goes to a Nike swoosh. And
all
the whole thing runs 30 seconds.
What was controversial about that?
Well, there is he prostituting his dad using the voice?
Yeah, first of all, he's using his dead dad's voice.
Well, I don't know if it's him using it.
Well, he had the say-so on what happened.
When you're being paid $1 billion, I don't think you have any say-so.
Well, you do if you have morals. I mean, that's the whole debate.
Yeah,
do you
exactly.
use your dad?
Well,
do you use your dead dad to try to help
get you out of... I thought it would have been more effective if he were talking. If he said, hey, I've learned from these mistakes. I mean, that would have been much more effective.
The other thing is, this is for Nike. This was a Nike ad. This is not a Tiger Woods, I apologize. I'm not a Tiger
or a John Edwards ad.
I don't even know what that means. But this is a Nike.
That guy that can read the dead.
Yeah, again. Not the
politician.
Not the politician who cheated on his wife.
You don't watch that show?
Not the politician who cheated on his wife with cancer?
No, the guy who can read the dead people in the audience.
Because the other John Edwards actually was more relevant
to
what we were talking about here, too.
Oh, all right.
All right, see, I thought you were being really clever.
No, I was just being part of the conversation.
Well, excuse me.
The thing is, what I was going to say is,
yes,
whether you agree with the commercial or not agree, Nike, it was a brilliant marketing maneuver because got so much free PR from it. It's unbelievable. Everybody on this planet except you, Parviz, has seen that commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, for free.
Yeah.
I always heard about it, so.
For free.
Yeah. And you know one thing I did see on the news?
Yes.
The new KFC double meat patties.
Oh, God.
And how much sodium it has in it. That I did see.
Is the sodium the thing that makes it a problem?
Yeah.
You have two pieces of chicken.
With cheese and
ham.
Bacon
and ham.
Yeah.
But the problem is the sodium.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that? I'm sorry. How's that funny? Yes, it is a sodium. Because why? It's a low-carb treat, but it's filled with sodium. It's not a bunny bun, and it's not carbonated. You know what I mean? It's a low-carb treat.
I guess we've been told that.
It made a news story because of the sodium, not because of the fat content or the calories.
Did you, getting back, as I know our music, did you see Kimmel Classic, his little thing with the tiger thing?
Yes.
So first he shows it in the original way, and he says, that's the first time I saw the commercial on Kimmel.
Okay.
And he says, I swear, this isn't a joke. We didn't do anything. And he shows the commercial the way it is. And then he's all, oh, and there's another version coming out, and he does it, and then he's got some Asian woman that walks in that's supposed to be his mom. He's all, you dumb tiger, you dumb, you can't put your pee-pee in your pants. Yeah, I had to see it.
And even then. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back on the other side. 408-335-4755. 408-335-4755. 408-335-4755. If you want to be a part of the show when we get back, put on that more stuff and nonsense. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, and John DeCoven, all inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Every night I remember that evening. The way you looked when you said you were leaving. The way you cried as you turned to walk away. The cruel words and the false accusations, the mean looks and the same old frustrations. I never thought that we'd throw it all away, but we threw it all away. And I'm a little bit lost without you, and I'm a bloody big mess inside. And I'm a little bit lost without you. This ain't a love song. I've been out, I've been losing. I've been tired, I'm all hurt and confusion. I've been mad, I'm the kind of man that I'm not. And though I'm down, I'll be coming back fighting. I may be scared and a little bit frightened, but I'll be back, I'll be coming back to life. I'll be coming back to life. And I'm a little bit lost without you, and I'm a bloody big mess inside. Ain't a love song, this is goodbye.
inside. And I'm a little bit lost without you. This ain't love, so this is goodbye.
It's alright,
cause you can try, but you never keep me down.
It's alright,
or maybe last, but you never keep me down. You can try, you can try, but you never keep me down.
You can try.
Fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Ah! Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're, I don't know where we are. I don't know. 27 minutes or so? No, that couldn't be right, is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's 27 minutes after the hour, but we started like
four
late.
Or five.
Was it 4 or 5?
4 or 5.
Oh, so we're about 20 minutes in this episode of Schnauzer Logic. It's our big 80th show.
It's going fast.
80. Being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 14th of April, 2010. Robin Goldstein, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. We're also over on twitter.com/schnauzerlogic. You can find us over on facebook.com. It's the 14th. Tomorrow is the 15th. Have you done your taxes?
Yes, I have.
You have? Have you done your taxes?
No.
Okay. All right. Do you expect to get them done in time? Or
no, I proverbial extension.
Is that right? All right.
I
do the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, do you do taxes yourself, or do you pay somebody to do them for you? Or
I have a CPA.
Do you?
Yeah.
And I bet you do.
We get somebody to do it for us.
You get somebody to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm one of the few people left that actually does the taxes for herself.
Why would you wait, though? Why? What's the point?
The point of waiting?
Yeah. Why do the extension and wait? Why don't you just get it done?
Because it's a lot of work and everything else is just kind of bunches up on top of itself. That's why.
All right.
You got to pay your quarterlies anyhow. You got to pay your quarterly estimates anyhow. I take an extension every year. The challenge for me is that I do my own taxes, but I don't have an automated bookkeeping system. So what it means is that sort of when I start for the next 2 or 3 days, I sort all of my receipts. Like, I have everything in folders and stuff like that. So I've got all of my, you know, business receipts for this kind of expense and that kind of expense. They're all there. But they all have to be totaled up. I suppose if I was using something like Quicken or QuickBooks or something like that.
Computer guy?
I know.
It
but
it's easy.
I know, but I'm not. So I wind up doing it in spreadsheets. I do it with Excel. I do it with Excel spreadsheets and then put it all together and... And so there you go. So did you want to raise a topic here? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, go on, please.
Let's go ahead and raise a topic. I got quite a few here.
All right, I do too. We're going to get to the I Am Oberman thing. Because you admitted to me that you...
You know, okay, let's get something straight here right away.
Yeah.
While I'm on tape, let's get straight.
By the way, did you read I Am Oberman article essay?
No.
Yeah, I'm way out of line. So I get here, Robin says, have you read the Oberman? I said, what did I say to you? I saw it. But it was wordy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said to you.
You said, God damn you.
No, I didn't. I said, oh, so basically, if it doesn't fit within a screen.
Correct.
And then you
if
said.
If I have to scroll
lives
down.
In the world of Twitter, 140 characters.
If I have to scroll down, it's too long for me to read.
Can I hijack this for a second?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you guys, so I think our, and it's funny because I had some people on Facebook, some friends of mine, say, I don't understand what the big deal is. Why is this such a big deal for you?
Because right. You used Oberman's name, right, for an account.
Well, I understand why it's a big deal in general, but they didn't understand why I took a... And so it's because it kind of got away... Shall I read this?
Yes.
Is this okay? Can I read this?
Yeah, for
all right.
Sure show.
So I'll read this. It'll explain the whole thing. All
okay.
right? So
okay.
Let me read this. It's 1,500 words. I don't know how long. It'll take... I'll read it. I'll
just
try to read
it.
All right. All right. It's called The Year of Living Oberman, a cautionary tale for the genuine article. It began innocently enough, as most great adventures do, alone and drunk and sitting in front of a television. I stared as the man, the myth, the legend that is Keith Olbermann declared Twitter the day's worst person in the world. I was gobstruck, a term I was technically not allowed to use as I had opted for MIT instead of Cornell, but damn convention, this was basic cable and it was serious.
The host of the news program that I had enjoyed during the entirety of the 2008 presidential election campaign, the man who would combine humor and intelligence in the coverage of our quadrennial Strum and Drang, had just dumped all over the latest social networking phenomena because someone had sent him an email that referenced a tweet that was apparently addressed to a fake Twitter. I don't remember the facts. I was well into the Slivovitz at this point and only capable of one thought. This can't be the real Keith Olbermann. The real Olbermann has a sense of humor, and this guy on TV was using the same bat he swung against stupidity and hypocrisy and cruelty to swat at a silly little bird. But the fellow on TV wasn't the real Olbermann. That left a void. So picking up my computer, I did the only thing any right-thinking American would do. I created another fake Olbermann identity, named it in honor of both Puff Daddy and Spartacus, and declared for all the world to see, I am Olbermann. And it began with a hastily crafted profile photo sporting the requisite evil twin magic marker beard. I simply began typing things into the Twitterverse, addressing no one and talking about nothing. No followers necessary, I just started tweeting. Random things, silly things, obviously insane things. For example, when the genuine KO appeared the next night in real time with Bill Maher, I tweeted an inside scoop. Bill Maher smells like sweet pickle chips. The kind you put on your burger. I kinda liked it. There, I said it. I am Olbermann. When soon, like bits of cosmic flotsam and jetsam, Twitter followers, living, breathing human beings, began attaching themselves to me, or the me that was the fake Olbermann. In the beginning, most seemed to appear to be in and on the joke, and seemed to appreciate tweets like, and now is promised a special comment, to lower your stress, get a kitty. Lucky numbers 4, 59, 5, 11, 2, 3, I am Olbermann. Now, to be honest, after the kerfuffle over the first fake Olbermann, the one that resulted in the countdown worst person in the world rant, there were those who doubted my authenticity. A few folks even asked me to prove that I was really Keith, which I did by taking a photo of a computer screen displaying an MSNBC publicity shot, clearly reflected in a hand mirror, and claiming that this was a photograph of me after shaving that morning. The arrow cursor visible in my hair may have detracted from the air of legitimacy that I was hoping to convey. You see, in one of my many other identities, note banner at top of blog, I'm a comedian and a writer, and posting as I am Olbermann became an exercise to see how long I could maintain a funny Twitter stream, apparently not from this article, but funny Twitter stream. See, I'm nervous here because you guys are not laughing. Funny Twitter stream from an alternate universe where bizarro Keith Olbermann dwelt. A tweet stream of Olbermann's id, if you will. At one point early on, I even wrote to the producers of Countdown, confessing my shenanigans and observing that I was finding it exhausting having to be Keith Olbermann for just a few minutes a day and wondering how the real KO kept it up 24/7. But as Nietzsche might have said in 140 characters or less, if you tweet long enough into the abyss will begin to tweet back at you. And eventually the hate tweets arrived. Angry people looking for a place to vent their frustration or confusion or just looking for a boogeyman they could lash out against. And the strange thing was how much it hurt, personally. I knew I wasn't Olbermann and that they weren't directing their vitriol against me, but I had taken on the role of in loco celebrity and was therefore fair game. And so the first lesson I learned in my year of living Olbermann was that people are willing to say things on the internet that I don't think their upbringing or religion or just good manners would permit them to say face to face. I wish this weren't the case, but we all know it's true, and it may speak more to our need as human beings of having our thoughts and feelings witnessed by others than it does to our capacity for anonymous cruelty. I'm not sure I'm smart enough to know. Remember, I'm the one who didn't go to Cornell. But I do know that being a public figure, even an obviously fake public figure, comes at a cost. And as the real person behind the false identity, I can assure you that the brickbats leave marks. The second lesson I learned in my year of living Olbermann is that for every jerk with a nasty comment, there are hundreds of kind and compassionate folks who will offer their genuine love and support when life presents its toughest challenges. As regular viewers of Countdown know, Keith sadly lost both his mother and father during the past year, and as a jokester, I found myself unprepared with how to deal with issues of real loss and grief in the midst of my comic facade. On the one hand, I was writing a parody comedy tweet stream that had no basis in reality, posting tweets like, "Went to see Avatar at the IMAX. Did you know they charge extra for 3D? I paid, but watch with one eye closed in protest." And on the other hand, a real person, someone who I admired, had lost one and then the other of his parents. Now, it turns out that I'd lost both of my parents during the past few years as well, and again found that the real-life events of my doppelganger had a direct impact on me through my faux-triggered identity. Many of I Am Olbermann's followers, apparently unaware that they were not writing to the real original Olbermann, sent lovely notes of condolence and consolation, and I took care to respond to each of them, noting that I was a comedian and not the real KO, though still a fan, and suggesting that they send their well wishes directly to Keith at MSNBC. And so, as hurt as I was by the misdirected bile sent my way in the name of fair and balanced discourse, I was equally heartened by the outpouring of unsolicited prayer and support and kindness directed towards my namesake as comfort against the universal experience of grief and loss we all at one time or another share. And it was during this second lesson that, and it was this second lesson that led directly to the third and final epiphany I had during my year of living Olbermann. Reading may be fundamental, but reading and reading comprehension are not the same thing. During my year of living Olbermann, I managed to go from a handful of followers to somewhere close to 11,000, which is going down rapidly as we speak.
There's your laugh.
And a strange phenomena I noticed along the way was that even though I repeatedly tweeted, both subtly and not so subtly, that I was not the real Keith Olbermann, a fact easily confirmed by simply reading the tweets authored by I Am Olbermann, the number of followers who believed that I was Olbermann continued to rise. At one point, I noticed that every time I tweeted, I lost followers, so after tweeting this precise revelation, I simply shut up and watched the count go even higher. And so it went, parallel universes in perfect harmony, until on April 8th, the night I originally wrote this piece, while packing my bag in anticipation for traveling to the home opener between the San Francisco Giants and the Atlanta Braves, I turned on the TV to catch the end of the 5 p.m. countdown broadcast and noticed Keith talking to John Hodgman about his intention to finally enter the Twitterverse with an official count at Keith Olbermann. And after a brief, oh my god, what the fuck moment, I quickly logged into I Am Olbermann and tweeted, holy crap, the jig is up. And waited for the number of followers to drop. Except that they didn't. Finishing this article a bit over 2 hours after the original Olbermann posted his first tweets, I discovered that I have even more followers than I did before, many of whom were, yes, welcoming me to Twitter. As Walt Kelly wrote in Pogo, we have met the enemy and he is us. Us, and a significant lapse in our reading comprehension. And so, Mr. Olbermann, along with the thousands of others who will undoubtedly subscribe to those 140 characters of Keithiness that will make up Keith Olbermann, I too welcome you to the show, the other weirder, more egalitarian show where everyone has made the roster and seems to be taking bratting practice in all directions simultaneously. I hereby turn the at I Am Olbermann nation over to you in good health and good spirits, no worse for the wear and tear and fake magic marker beard. As Tudor Turtle might have said, please, Mr. Wizard, I don't want to be Keith Olbermann anymore. And as the kindly Wizard the Lizard would hopefully have intoned, drizzle drizzle, drizzle drome, time for this one to come home. Good night and good luck being Keith Olbermann, Keith Olbermann. It's a task best left to those chivalrous of spirit, pure of heart and clean shaven, Cornell degree optional. And in closing, I'll ask that you answer the lovely Ann Mollison of Colorado who tweets, so, which Olbermann do we read? The one with the hairy face, or the clean-cut new one who finally logged in today? Keith, we both know it's probably better that she hear it from you.
There you go.
Nice.
That's a slow clap.
So what was that sandwich you were saying at Kentucky Fried Chicken? Wow. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
That's a long post, though. That is a long post.
Thank you. I mean, it's a long post.
Is it really 1,500 words is too... You know, this is really... It's kind of interesting because I'm clearly a long-winded motherfucker, but I enjoy writing. I wonder, do people enjoy reading? Maybe they don't. Maybe everybody...
Well, it was one subject. All your... What is so funny? I don't get it.
It wasn't the fact that it was a lot of words. Right. It was the fact that it was a lot of words about one thing.
Right. I mean, that goddamn book, War and Peace. I mean, you know, that book was long and one subject. I mean,
but maybe we're putting words in your mouth, my friend. I don't know.
Just bullet points. Get to the point. Move on.
All right, well, I'm just stroking my own ego.
No. I mean, it's very well written.
Thanks.
No.
I wasn't looking for the stroke.
I'm not stroking anything at this moment. No, it's very well written, and I think somebody...
What?
Would read that whole thing, but somebody like part...
Somebody would.
That somebody not that me. Was kind that likes Keith Olbermann and all... But Parviz...
Parviz is what? A dummy?
He's not going to read
how many,
it.
How many?
You didn't read it either.
I'm not going to read it either because I don't care about Keith Olbermann.
But you care about me.
Because it's wordy. It's like a lot of shit.
It's a lot of words. Don't you understand? I don't do my own taxes. I'm not reading blog posts.
And then I see Keith Olbermann's face and a bunch of little squares. I'm like, I started to, but then I scrolled down. I said, I'll catch it.
So did you really start to?
I did.
But
I really
didn't, didn't catch it.
And I scrolled, 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 and I scrolled.
I scared you away.
I was like, oh, fuck.
I scared you away.
But other blogs that you put on there are... little two-line sentences, yeah, next, no, paragraph, two line sentences,
read,
next paragraph, two-line sentences.
I mean, I've read...
And I enjoy those because I'm like, oh, good, new subject. And I
right.
read on it.
Right. Just don't talk about two. Just keep it to one.
But if it's one long subject...
All right.
It's a lot of work.
Well, anyhow, so here's the challenge that I face now.
How many comments did you get on your blog by Keith Overman?
There were just a couple of comments on the blog. They were fairly funny. I think what was interesting is once I posted this piece... Then the follower count began to drop down. Although there were a number of really nice comments. So people don't comment on the blog, they comment on the Twitter stream, right? That's where you see the comments. And there were a lot of comments on the Twitter stream. Mostly people saying that they thought it was an interesting article, right? It was kind of an interesting perspective, sort of being a celebrity impersonator for the year kind of thing. And other people that I think had thought that doing this, I was a jerk. That, you know, if you're a fake Twitter account, then you must be a jerk. And there was somebody in England who wrote, I got to rethink this I Am Open person, because that's kind of an interesting, like, that was an interesting take. It was kind of entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was fun, not as funny as Parviz would have liked. It was too long, but it was, you know what I mean? It was, I don't know. Maybe it was just ego. I don't know. My friend Jim said to me, and I think it's true. I understand that I am in desperate, desperate, desperate need of love and attention. I am the first to admit that. And pretty much everything that I do is an attempt for me to say, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. I mean, I know that. I think performers share that, and I have it in fucking spades. I'm the first to admit it, and I try to keep it in control, and I use these outlets, the show and the blog and things, so that when I'm in work or trying to earn a living, I'm not pushing people away, right? I mean, it's an annoying... I'm waiting for somebody to argue with me or disagree, but I'm not... It ain't going to happen.
I was trying to think if there's maybe like a 12-step group
There's nothing going on here. So
I'm with you.
Thanks. Thanks. All right. So I cop to it. But the thing is, now that he's tweeting, like, it was never supposed to be... You know, like, I was never really trying to get anybody to think that I was really him. Whereas there are people that have been celebrity impersonators. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of liken it to being a Cher impersonator. It's much like that. You look confused. You
know, no,
there are
no,
Cher
no,
impersonators.
No, no. Right? But you know what I think is wrong? Are the people that are Cher impersonators that sign being Cher and they fuck with the heads of anybody who comes up to them and thinks that they're the real person.
Oh, see, well, I would never do that.
No, but like you said, you were never implying that you were the real Keith.
It should have been obvious. And I thought it was obvious to everyone who looked at it that it was a joke. And I was surprised, and I'm still surprised, that there are people that don't. I think the bigger issue, there's a couple of bigger issues. The first issue is, should I even keep this account alive at this point? I mean, because there are 10,000 people that are following me. In the Twitterverse, that's a lot of people to have following you.
Is that right?
10,000?
I don't know.
That's a huge fucking number. How many do you have?
I don't even look.
Okay, so but you're
1,000?
1,000.
But just the name Oberman makes be 10,000.
So right, that's right. And then I worry whether people are following this account because they're being misled. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so they got there and then they're kind of being misled and it's like, "Oh, well, I don't want to do that." Like, that's not the point. The fact that even after I wrote this article, that even if you didn't read it, it was clear that I was not I was not Oberman. The fact that after I wrote this article, people were still logging into my account and going, "Hey, I just added you as a friend. Welcome to Twitter." It's like,
even though we put Scott Peterson in jail, there's still people that want to do him. You know,
I have no idea.
Right?
What? No.
I understand.
Yeah, thank you. The Night Stalker. There's still people that want to do the Night Stalker,
the TV show.
No, you're a celebrity. You're an identity that people want to cling to. They don't want to believe that you're not real because the shit you say on Twitter is more exciting to them than the shit they read on anybody else's Twitter.
But the real Keith Olbermann is on Twitter now.
That's fine. But they don't want to believe it.
No, he's not. He's actually very entertaining. No, he's an entertaining guy.
But when you say he's on Twitter, do you think he?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It's, you don't, no think one else writing for him.
No. It's pretty clear that it's him.
I'm telling you,
he's over-tweeting like crazy at this point. He's doing what people who are celebrities do. He's got to... Listen, he and I... I mean, I'm not saying that we're the same,
Same age.
Well, for sure.
Same, but okay. I think I'm flattered. I don't know. But same age cohort, you know, both from the Northeast, both went to, you know, Ivy type colleges. One of the reasons I watch the show is because all of his pop culture references are things that I relate to, right? I mean, so you grew up in the same time, you know, the same kind of things, you're interested in similar kinds of things. I don't have any problems with dissociating myself with a fake identity, but there's enough interest there that I look at this and I go, okay, this is not a celebrity tweet thing. This is a guy that got a BlackBerry or an iPhone or whatever the fuck it is with his Twitter app, and he's doing what you do when you start. You overtweet, right? You tweet every fucking 5 minutes, and you go, that's why I keep dropping Kevin Smith.
Kind of like when you first learned how to masturbate.
I know, yeah.
And today. but I mean, you overtweet like crazy, right? When you start,
why'd you wink at me, John?
You just overtweet like crazy. If I knew, for example, that there were 500 people that thought that this was a funny account, right? The original 500 people that got the joke, then it'd be fun to keep the account going, mm-hmm. because then I think, like, oh, these are people that are in on the joke. I'd be happy with 500 people that were in on the joke. I'm concerned about the fact that there are people that are coming there and still thinking that I'm not Oberman, unless every day I post, you know, just a reminder,
and you know what's
I'm
interesting,
not Oberman.
You know what's interesting? The people that follow Oberman, you would assume, are pretty smart people.
Well, that's the other thing.
No.
Listen,
kids don't follow Oberman. These are adults that follow Oberman. You would think, like, all right, this is bullshit. This is not true.
Right. And
but
I
the
think,
fact that they are believing you.
I think there are as many illiterate people on the left as there are illiterate people on the right.
Oberman. They must love fucking Oberman. They don't want to believe the truth. They want to believe you are Oberman.
But even though but there really is an Oberman out there now. That's the whole
now,
thing.
But you fucked
still,
it up.
There's still violence.
You fucked it up.
How
because,
did I, what?
Because you've been tweeting this fake Oberman now for what, 6 months?
A year.
All right. You fucked it up. You know what?
Read the article. It's line.
Listen to me.
It's on line 82.
Listen to me. Listen to me. The real Oberman is going to come on, and nobody's going to believe him.
No, no, no. He's already got like 40,000, 50,000 followers. Because he's got a television show. I only have a podcast. Right? He's got a nightly television show. He's got a nightly television show. So he actually... Right? So what I'm getting is... I'm getting the people that are not... I'm getting the people who serve for jury duty. That's who I'm getting as followers now. Right? Who's on jury duty? People who are not smart enough to get out of jury duty. Okay? Who's following I Am Oberman on Twitter? People who weren't smart enough to figure out, hey, we got a phone call. Should we put him on the air?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, here we go. Oh, well, maybe not. Oh, I screwed that up.
Oh,
wait. Hold on a second here. Hold on a second. Schnauzer Logic. Who is this? Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Who is this? Oh, cool. Listen, let me ask you to call back in like a minute, all right? Actually, call back after the break. Would you mind?
Well, they don't know. They're not listening.
Yeah, he's listening. It's Mark. It's of the Mark Zinkel of the Mark and something podcast thing. So
sweet.
Okay, all right,
but
okay.
I forgot to put the forwarding on. So call back right after the break, all right, my friend? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, it's the kid?
It's the kid.
Oh!
It's the kid. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk to the kid.
The kid that's been listening to us that we never heard from.
He was 14 years old.
Fuck yeah, bring him on.
Should we bring him on now?
Should I take off my pants? No.
We'll bring him on after the break.
We'll take a break.
Let's see if he read Robin's blog.
I'm sure he did. Oh, I got some Justin Bieber to play for him. All right, we'll take a break. I do need some advice about this thing, and I'll turn off the phone. I fucked it up. All right, but we'll be on the other side. We'll be back with
very special guest
Mark Zinkel. I love it. All right. Yeah, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Parvi Vitali.
We love anybody who cares.
And John DeCoven, who can read, just didn't bother to. All right, stick around.
I mean, I can read too.
Yeah, sure. Prove it.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Oh, 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 you know you love me, I know you care, just shout whenever, and I'll be there, you want my love, you want my heart, and we will never, ever, ever be apart, are we an idol?
down, down.
And I just can't believe my first love won't be around. And I'm like, baby, 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 oh, like, baby, 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 no way. Baby, 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 oh, thought you'd always be mine, mine. Baby, 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 oh, like, baby, 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 no way. Baby, 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 oh, thought you'd always be mine, mine.
When I was 13, I had my first love. There was nobody that compared to my baby, and nobody came between us, no could ever come above. She had me going crazy, oh, I was starstruck. She woke me up daily, don't need no Starbucks. She made my heart pound and skip a beat when I see her in the street and at school on the playground. But I really wanna see her on the weekend. She knows she got me dazing, cause she was so amazing. And now my heart is breaking, but I just keep on saying,
feel that in every way this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Crystal!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're about 45 minutes into this 80th episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host Buddy and Pal. Straight bites, Buddhist, vegetarian, lesbian, fraternity boy, trapped in the body of recovering transsexual, impounded, attorney.
John, John. Jesus, fucking. It's fucking second grade. Cover your mouth.
I did. I went like this.
Oh,
fuck. Jesus.
We get that on tape?
Oh, because the whole thing's on fucking tape here.
No, just what? His snot is everywhere. I'm asking if his snot's on tape.
Yeah, that's right. I got fucking CSI cameras. I'm gonna be.
Yeah, they're there.
I didn't say if it's on tape. I meant if it's not, is on the tape.
All right. As I was starting to say, that's the first time I've ever actually been halted in mid straight white Buddhist. Straight white Buddhist, vegetarian, lesbian, fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney, bizarre sense of humor, and a master's degree in city planning. Saying welcome back and Santa Vista again, the Parvis Vitali.
Santa Vista, Robin.
And saying welcome back and Santa Vista again to Sneezy Sneezy Pants.
Santa Vista.
God damn. And let's, we're punching down the button here and saying Santa Vista to Mark Zinkel. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic. Woo!
Santa Vista.
How are you?
Mark.
Mark Zinkel, is it okay to say shalom? No?
Shalom?
No, okay, yeah. I guess not.
Hey, Mark, where are you from?
I am from Sacramento, California, so not too far from where you guys are right now.
Okay.
And Mark Zinkel was one of our very, very, very first listeners, I think, at the inception of Schnauzer Logic over almost 4 years ago.
Okay.
And he actually sent audio to us. He was doing a little bit of production and stuff like that. And it occurs to me that when you started listening to this show, you were 14, 15 years old. Is that right?
That is correct. Well, it was a long time ago. And I've been listening for I don't know how long.
A long damn time ago, but listen to his voice. He's got radio chops, doesn't he? He's got the pipes.
Yeah.
He's got those pipes.
So, Mark, what kept you listening for 4 years?
Oh, we were off for half of that
time. I have no idea. Well, honestly, I liked the radio format of the podcast, and I've been listening to other podcasts, but it doesn't have that radio feel, and I'm just addicted to radio in every way.
Oh, cool.
And so that's why I listen.
Stay off drugs.
So,
did you ever think in the 4 years it was entertaining?
There are some entertaining moments.
So you found a couple moments, huh? That's good.
But much like the article, if you have to get through the whole thing, he goes, well, really, 2 hours, I don't know if I could deal with 2 hours.
Hey, how did you deal, Mark, with the fact that we were off for about a year and a half?
you know, I just found other things and confused myself with other stuff.
Puberty.
That's right, you discovered girls.
Puberty, girls, flying.
You realize there's another world out there?
Yeah, really.
TiVo.
I got my own radio show. That's right.
The Mark and who's your? I forget your guest host name. Your co-host.
What's
name?
What's the name of the show? So I
yeah. Let's give them plugs here. Massive plugs.
So it is www.markandstefan.com.
Markandstefan.com.
Stefan is spelled Stephen.
All right.
And that's my podcast, and then I also have a radio show every Saturday from 1 to 3. It's Basil and the Fish, which is at 1410kmyc.com.
Which is an AM station up there in Sacramento. How did you get the gig on Basil with the Fish? I'm sorry, John is raising his hand. Do you have a question for the senator?
Is it Mark with yes. A C or a K?
K.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark with a K.
And yeah. And that's important during the interview for what particular purpose?
For the audience.
I see. All right. Well
have
played.
Have you met anybody with a Mark with a C?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. So there's not a lot of marks with the C.
But he's only 18.
Anyway,
yeah. He's got plenty of time.
You don't have,
that's true.
Time. There's probably a lot of things you haven't done that we've done.
And yet.
So, Mark, do you get our, when you listen to our podcast, do we inspire you to, like, do it better somewhere else?
Honestly, no.
All right.
Just for reference, I just looked on my iPod in my contact directory, and there are 7 marks with a C.
Okay. Very all right. So, you know when Mark said that some
information.
You know when Parviz asked Mark whether he found the show entertaining, and he said sometimes. If I had to guess which category this part of the show falls into, I've been listening to you up on the station in up in the North Country there by Sacramento on Basil and the Fish, and I'm wondering how you got that particular gig. Do you know those guys or friends of yours? Because it's not right nearby where you live.
Yeah, it's pretty far away actually from where I live. It's an hour away.
Yeah,
I knew none of these people, but because of Facebook, somebody found me because. I do voiceover on the side, and so I'll say that coming up next on whatever podcast or whatever radio show. And so on my Facebook page, it says that I'm a voiceover artist, so somebody from here noticed that I'm a voiceover artist, and I do it for ridiculously cheap. I'm 18.
You're hired.
They said, hey, I would like some voiceover stuff, and then I was over the phone, I was talking to this person, they realized they did a podcast, they listened to the podcast, they liked the podcast, and they invited me on the show.
Outstanding.
So it's all thanks to Facebook.
How did you discover our podcast?
You know, actually, I was doing voiceovers at a website, where I think it was voiceover, voicedaddy.com. Or,
oh, yeah,
you know, Radio Daddy.
Radio Daddy. Is that where you found us, at Radio Daddy? Oh, so he would know. He knows Brian Cox.
I'm Brian Cox.
He back knows in the day, Brian Cox was active on there, but
I'm
now he's
Brian
a bigwig and he doesn't deal with free stuff.
There you
anymore.
Go.
I'm Brian Cox.
So he's the.
You know, did you know, Mark, that Brian Cox says that every time he has sex?
That's how he finishes it off.
When he gets it in the eye, he goes, I'm Brian Cox.
I'm Brian Cox.
Slaps him across the face. And
totally.
You
totally.
Know, you know what would be fun to
and
do?
And Larry says.
Maybe silly, but I guess we have to ask it. Are you gay?
I think, seriously, we should call Brian. Just out of the blue.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Okay. Wow.
John's drunk.
Wow. Really, John? I mean, goddamn. Do you mean like now while we're talking to Mark? While we're talking to Mark.
No, after Mark.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Hey, Mark, if there's ever a time.
When you want
to. No, Mark, if there's ever a time that you want to travel to the Bay Area, you know, on a Wednesday, that'd be awesome. I mean, we should probably have you on and have a good time.
Yeah, because John doesn't need to be here every week.
No, I don't.
So
well, maybe one Wednesday, I'll take you up on that offer.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You'd be more than welcome to sit in with us.
Robin has extra room in her house. You can sleep over.
fucking kid is 18 years old.
You scared the shit out of him.
I'm 52. You scared both of us. I don't. Okay. No, you can't stay over. Let's just be clear about that. That offer is not extended by me in any way, shape, or form under California Penal Statute 523.47A. So the other Mark is a really interesting guy for all kinds of reasons, including the fact that he had his pilot's license before he had his driver's license, and that's, I mean,
amazing.
That's outstanding. You're into ultralights. I mean, that's sort of your passion. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I'm huge into ultralights. Ultralights are like lightweight airplanes, and it's my passion. I love all sorts of flying, but I actually don't have a pilot's license. You don't need a pilot's license to fly ultralight.
Okay.
Or fortunately to do a podcast.
All right. I'm going to teach you one thing that I learned a long time ago, Mark. It's called yes and. So somebody gives you the ball, take it, and throw it away. You don't take the ball.
I am a pilot.
I know, but you don't take the ball and deflate it. You just actually take it and move on. So if Robin says you got a pilot's license, guess what? You got a pilot's license.
I understand that you have the ability to touch things in Sherman's and cheese. Is that true?
Oh yes, absolutely.
And very good. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. It moves the story along when you do that. It comes to a screeching halt when you go, I don't have a license. All right.
Well, it's easy then for him to get over here. No problem.
Yes, and?
So, I know that you've been up in flights. Have you built your own? Do you have an ultralight at this point? Or are they things that you can rent, go out to the airfield and sort of take one for the day? How does that work?
Well, right now, anybody can go up flying if they go up with an instructor. But right now, in my garage, I'm building this ultralight. I'm actually restoring it, which means I've completely taken it apart, and I'm going to build it all together. So, I'm building an airplane. So
these have no motor, right? They just is that true? Do they have a motor?
There is an engine, so I don't have to rely on. Without a motor, it's kind of lame. You can't really do much.
That's just like a glider, I guess, right?
Well, it's like a glider with an engine on it.
Right. I mean, without an engine, you have to be towed into the air. So these things, you can actually taxi and take off?
Yeah, you taxi just like any other airplane. And it looks like a pretty much like a lawn chair with wings, if you can imagine that.
I think we've seen
that. And it sounds dangerous. It's not that dangerous.
It does sound dangerous. How high do you fly?
Well, you can fly. They've been flown above 18,000 feet. But wow. At 18,000, once the higher you go, because this is open cockpit airplane, the higher you go, the colder it gets.
Right.
And the higher you go, it feels like the slower you're moving. And ultralights are already slow, so most guys fly at like 500 feet above the ground.
Wow. Do you ever feel like Wonder Woman?
Of all the superheroes, you have the ability to fly. Is that the one that you felt the most?
Well, she flies an invisible plane, right? That's open to the air, which makes her cuckoo hard, right? Yes, and John.
Yes, yes,
yes, and don't leave me hanging, man. Just keep it going.
Yes, and let's talk about something else.
Yes, and
you actually feel like God when you're flying. Now you're above everybody else.
Wow.
It's an amazing feeling.
That's if you believe in God.
So how many hours do you have to fly before you can do your first solo?
Well, for ultralights, as long as you're able to fly and you're able to do it safely, you can do it at any time.
All right.
But if you want to go and get like a private pilot's license, it's 40 hours is the required time, and most people do it in like 50 or 60 hours.
Gotcha. How did your parents feel about this? Have they been supportive or scared to death?
Well, my mom grew up around aviation. My grandpa was like the top mechanic at Pan Am.
Oh.
And Pan Am is closed now. It's ran out of business. But, and so, yes, she grew up with aviation.
Yeah. There's actually no connection between those two for those who are.
Well, no, the thing I think is funny is like Pan Am went out of business probably before he was born.
Right, in the 70s. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. but not because of the quality of the repairs.
But he was telling us, like, we didn't know. That's, I thought, was funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
It's more adorable.
Is that we had a Justin Bieber moment there.
Yes, he did. Oh, good times.
I think they went out of business, didn't they, because they had mechanical problems.
Yeah, we got that.
We actually,
oh, lovely.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
My grandpa did a great job.
Yeah. Are you listening to his podcast now? Is that
that's called
you?
Sarcasm.
I see. So your mom is cool with it, and how often do you, I mean, how often do you get to fly? Do you do the radio on the weekends? I know you're doing your podcast with Stefan. You got school, obviously. You're still in high school at this point, I guess, trying to figure out what you're going to do when you grow up, and summer gigs and stuff like that. How often do you get out and get up in the air?
Well, pretty much every Sunday I have the opportunity to go out to my local airport, and the pilots get together, and they just sort of... We go flying to breakfast every Sunday.
Is that right?
So I get to go flying all the time.
So on Sunday mornings you get up and you fill up the must not be a very big tank, right? I mean, a little kind of, is it like a lawnmower-y kind of a tank or?
Well, for flying ultralights, you're legally required to 5 gallons, so you can't have any more than 5 gallons of fuel.
All right, because that takes all the fun out of it.
I have a serious question there, because you said most of the time these things only go, most people go 500 to 1,000 feet, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I were to go up there and I take my girlfriend and we do it, I'm not a member of the Mile High Club then, right?
Well, the way I understand it, you as long as you have sex in the air, you're part of the Mile High Club.
Okay.
Is there a weight capacity limit on these devices? Just because before you spend a lot of time answering the question, I wanna sort of make life easier. So, what's the maximum amount of gross tonnage that an ultralight can carry? Because we may be able to sidestep this in the legal community. That's called a moot point.
What was the question?
That's a good question, though.
I mean, how much, you know, what's the heaviest pilot of an ultralight? I mean, can you be 200 pounds? Can you be 300 pounds?
I've heard of 270-pound pilots being able to fly these things.
All right. There.
So you can be pretty fat
okay.
and fly.
Husky yeah. is how we like to be addressed. But
so, Mark, are all your friends totally impressed and crap like that?
Oh, gosh.
Are they?
I am God at my school.
Yeah, because you fly planes and stuff. That's cool.
So what's more cooler to people? Is it the radio stuff or the plane stuff?
It's the radio show. Ever since I started a radio show, I've had more lady attention than anybody could imagine.
That's what I like hearing, my boy. That's what I like hearing.
That's cool, man.
Take advantage of it. Take advantage.
Totally.
Love them and leave them.
And I am.
Mark, what about, you know, I know you're from Sacramento, so you must have heard about that story, that Southwest plane that almost got hit by a commuter plane, like 300 feet apart, like last week or something?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Is that crazy or what?
Well, it's crazy, but 300 feet.
300 feet's pretty close.
300 feet isn't that much.
It's pretty far apart.
What I understand is that both airplanes saw each other, so 300 feet is not a big deal.
That's
yeah, but if you're
field.
On your plane and you fucking saw a 747, that's a big deal.
Yeah, well, at 300 feet, a 747, that would be freaky.
Yeah.
But if we both saw each other and we both knew and were communicating to each other, it wouldn't be a big deal at all.
All right.
As very long nice. As his thrust doesn't blow me out of the sky.
That's a way to go, though, right? Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you go doing what you love. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you wear a parachute?
I do not wear a parachute. However, I'm considering buying a parachute that's for the whole airplane. So I have a structural failure. I just pull the chute and the whole airplane comes floating down.
All right.
Wow.
Interesting.
See, this is something I've always been interested in doing. This is true. I've never talked about this before. Well, I mean, there's lots of things. Well, this is now it already sounds creepier than it
does.
Right.
Yeah. But when I was a kid... about your age. No, when I was about your age, I was interested in airplanes and ultralights. This was a long time ago. Obviously, the technology was not nearly as developed at that point, and was actually looking at, like, starting to make my own propeller.
And like, uh-huh. we got a piece of wood and got the like the instructions. There was no internet. You went to the library and kind of marked it off, and you know, and then you get a plane, like a wood plane, and begin to kind of plane. I mean, and then I thought, well, that's just a lot of work. I'll just wait until, you know, if I wait until I'm 50
years.
Yeah, wait until I'm 50 years, I'll be able to talk to somebody who's already done it. You know, it just makes life a whole lot easier. So I am a great admirer of your spirit. And what is there sort of a goal for ultralight pilots, like, you know that you've reached a particular level because you've flown so many hours or so high, or, you know, the longest flight, you know, without stopping, or like, how do you, like, is there an achievement other than the fact that you're basically airborne, which is cool by itself?
I think the big achievement is once you're able to fly alone, your first solo, that's a huge achievement.
Yeah,
it is.
But other than that, ultralight pilots just fly for the heck of it.
Very cool, man. Very cool. You must be a big fan of John Travolta.
John Travolta? Oh, he's cool.
Yeah,
and
he's cool.
And to be able to fly in your own private jet and just kind of look at that people and say, yeah, that's my jet over there.
Pretty neat, huh? That's definitely, you're going to get laid real soon. That's good.
Are you...
What? I'm brazen,
imagine
I forgot to.
John Travolta...
Uncle Parviz.
Being in radio at the same time.
There you go.
More...
John Travolta said a story that... that he's been collecting forever, but flight schedules from the 60s and 70s and whatever. It's not terribly interesting. It's more informative.
And even not so much like that.
Well, I'd
like to end all my comments that suck with, yes, and.
Well, I just want to ask Mark, though, make sure I get this question in before he leaves. Have you seen the Nike commercial with Tiger?
I have indeed. It is eerie and creepy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you know about the story about the lady who sent her 7-year-old back to Russia because he was a pain in the ass?
Well, gosh, he probably is a pain in the ass. I'd get rid of him, too.
He is doing the yes and thing. He's pissing me off.
Oh, yeah, you know,
because I want him to stop this.
No.
All right.
I'm now the proud owner of a Heil microphone because of this kid, okay? Because
cool.
he basically looked at the studio equipment and was like, you don't have a fucking Heil. Kind of was like, whoa.
Well, why is it over there?
Because I don't need an extra mic at this point.
Oh, okay.
It's for when we. It's actually for doing voice work on that computer.
Okay.
So I've got it connected through without having to go through the mixer and shit like that.
Hey, Mark, I hope we get to meet you someday. That'd be cool.
Well, excellent. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you very much. Actually, you called us, but let's.
but I, thanks for giving a shit. Is what.
I have the same mistakes. So let's see. So it's Mark Zinkel. It's the Mark and Stefan podcast, which is Mark and Stefan
.com.
Mark and Stefan .com.
Mark with a K.
Mark with a K. Stefan with a PH.
Right.
And an A. And a .com with a dot. And then also on the Basil and the Fish, whatever on Saturdays.
1410KMYC.com. I write this down.
Yeah, which is...
I would go for an easier website, though, because markandstefan.com, a lot of people are going to mess up.
You mean like ultralightradio.com?
Just something that's easier for people to remember. That's marketing. That's just how it is.
How about yesand.com? Yeah. I mean, shit, right there. People move forward.
Let's see if it's available.
Yeah. I'll let you. I won't hold you up. I know that you probably have homework to do or something. I'm sorry.
Is he still in high school?
Yeah.
And are you 18, actually?
Yes, I'm 18, turned 18 on November 18th.
Okay, now be careful, because I just heard this news story about these two guys that turned 18 and... were making out with these 15-year-old girls and are going to be thrown in jail. So
yes,
be careful.
Statutory rape, right?
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
It's the best kind.
Also, winners don't do drugs.
And if you're flying high, you're already high enough.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
All right.
That's what I tell people.
All right.
I don't need to get high. I go high all the time. I'm actually high.
Good for you, man. Stay clean and keep your nose out of the cookie jar.
Keep reaching for those stars. Yeah. Keep your feet on the ground.
And keep your nose out of the chocolate starfish.
Roger.
Out of the chocolate starfish.
You know the part of the show that he said was not all that entertaining or informative or didn't make him want to be a better broadcaster?
I thought he hung up.
Well, he's going to listen all of this because he's on it.
All right. We have one listener this week. Yeah. All right. Thank you, my friend.
See you later, Mark.
Mark Sona Vista.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. The world famous Mark Zinkel. Yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking Zinkel, you know.
Jewish?
Yeah. But obviously not.
You always ask that question first.
No.
Is that really important to you?
It's a bonding issue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, is that like the most important element of someone that you meet, whether or not they're a Jew?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But when I think they are, like if it,
when you think
like
are.
Your buddy Jeff, I didn't ask him when I saw him because I'm like, he's not.
He's definitely not a
right,
Jew.
Right. Okay. Know. But Zinkel, I thought, you know,
okay.
Good possibility.
Yeah, but see.
I can't explain
it to
you.
It's a weird question.
It's the way my mom brought me up.
I know, but it's a weird question.
Can't
you know,
help
like, it. I have to tell you, when I was in before I got to college, I was like that. I was like you.
Right.
And I, because I grew up in Brooklyn.
Your mom.
I grew up in Brooklyn. Yeah, my mom, my dad, my grandmother, grandfather, everybody's like, is he Jewish? He's like, oh, I think he's Jewish. I think he changed his name from Shlomolovitz to Wilson. You know,
What do you think the first question is that my mom would ask me every time I met a new girl?
Is she a virgin?
Right. Oh, she's not black, is she?
Does
no.
she have a penis? I don't know.
No. Well, so, you know, is she Jewish?
Yes, I understand that. But that's different because you're not dating Mark Zinkel.
Not yet.
So, I mean, the whole preoccupation with whether or not somebody is or is not a Jew, I absorbed that, right?
Right, right.
And I got to college, and I joined a fraternity, and I looked around, and I was sort of like, oh, we'll bond with people because I'm Jewish. And suddenly people were looking like, there's no fucking reason to bond with you. Like, I don't fucking know you.
Well, they're not.
It was a bizarre question. It's a very bizarre thing.
They.
I would feel the way I feel about you, irrespective of whether or not you had a foreskin.
No. Of course not. But what I'm saying is if you meet someone and you make that connection, if they have like a very cultural Jewishness to them, they will. The ones that didn't, they couldn't care less about it.
It's a grand falloon. It's a grand falloon. In the words of the great late Kurt Vonnegut, it is a grand falloon. I think Jews are the identity of Jewish is a collection of people that think that they have something in common, but for the most part,
we're all brothers and sisters.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know. It feels like a weird question to me these days. Shouldn't?
I've never asked it, so I don't know.
Is Olbermann Jewish?
I can't even read his articles. Why would I know if he's Jewish or not? I don't know. If the article's short and gets to the point, I'll tell you.
You read comic strips?
Yeah.
In the newspaper?
No. I used to a long time ago.
Where do you read the comic strips?
Well, I used to. I'm just trying to be yes and. Just going with it. And then he questioned me. I'm like, oh, fuck.
What's a day like for you these days? Because I know that you're still looking for employment.
Yeah.
What time do you get up? You get up
seven.
Mel's working.
Yeah.
So you get up with her, or you
yeah seven.
You guys
make
get up
coffee.
Together. You make coffee.
Yeah.
Oh. Schnauzer Logic.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh hi. Are you still giving away any tickets?
Shit.
Oh, we are, but you have to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Don't get creepy.
Yeah, really. Everything you say sounds creepy.
All of a sudden, we got Mark set up.
Well, no, because we need to know who's calling in.
Just
what do you need to know?
Exactly.
Are you Jewish?
No.
Hold
I
on.
Will be if I need to be for the tickets.
That's sweet. Where are you calling from?
Castor Valley.
Cool.
Right on. And how did you find the info to call in on?
Just saw you on Facebook.
Oh, sweet. Okay. So are you a fan of ours?
Yeah, I haven't made it 20 shows yet.
Well, then this will be lovely. This will be perfect for you.
John, you are kind of creepy.
You are, isn't he?
Yeah, because you're talking,
well,
I'm getting aroused.
Well, the funny thing is, she's listening to this, you probably don't even understand what's going on, right?
No, it sounds like a bunch of people and some music.
Yeah, it's a podcast.
It's angry techno music, as Jason would say.
We're doing a live podcast.
It's called Schnauzer Logic. Thank you.
Robin Goldstein is the host.
Parviz Vitali.
What we do is we John had this brilliant idea of giving out a ticket to the first one to call, which was you.
It's a pair of tickets. Four tickets? Is it four tickets? Is it six? How many tickets is it? Six tickets? Eight tickets?
Whatever she needs. Yeah.
Do you, I can get
a big group.
But she is going to Temple first, she said.
Do you enjoy stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
Okay, you won't enjoy the show, but you might enjoy Bunjos. You might enjoy Bunjos, because that has entertainment for
who's
you.
Who's your favorite stand-up comedian working today, for example?
John DeCova.
You mean like locally? Or?
No.
Do you know local comics?
Well, I like Bobby Slayton.
Oh, we love Slayton, but he's not really local.
He won't come to your place, huh?
No, not for...
Not for the money you're willing to
money,
pay.
Yeah.
Not for the money you're willing to pay.
No, I'd love to have Slayton there.
What's
but
the biggest...
I like people I don't know either, as long as they're
well,
funny.
Then you're going to love me. So if you like Slayton, then you don't mind the dirty language.
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
You sound very nice. This is gonna be good. We're giving tickets to a nice person.
So what show are you going to give her tickets to?
Well, whichever one.
How many nights a week do you run the show now?
Well, they're Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sometimes on Wednesday. Occasionally
Fridays
on Tuesday and Tisha B'Av.
Fridays we got the Killer Laughs Comedy Competition. This Saturday we have the Not Dead Yet Comedy Tour.
All right.
Which is four comics all in their 50s who didn't start doing
stuff. How fun.
Yeah, so you may there be you interested go. In that.
I would have. I'd have to go to a casino night on Saturday, though. But will they be back again? Okay. I'd love to. I work at a senior retirement community, and I'd love to take the seniors to that.
You're telling me this is not a Jewish East Coast woman talking to me? Right? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Boston.
Oh,
but,
there you go.
Here in California, yeah.
Okay. Not Dead Yet. We got Phil Johnson next week. So here's what we'll do is...
Phil Johnson?
Yeah, he's the guitar player. He's Ken Turetsky's buddy.
Absolutely.
You know who you would love to see? We have Lori Kilmartin coming.
Oh, I've heard of her. She's
coming
been around
back?
For a long time.
May 8th.
Wow.
So that's... You would really like that show.
Yeah, I like seeing other women and, you know, mothers and people like that can... Help us make fun of our life and stuff like that.
Okay, well, and then we also have Chicks with Shtick at the end of May, so there's a wide array of...
Okay.
So poorly named shows.
hold on, let's get our intern on the phone. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She doesn't know, but that's fine.
So since this is public air and we don't have... a way of getting your info without it being broadcast. I'm going to give you my email, and then you shoot me an email, and we'll get okay. So just send it to John JOHN at Bunjo's Comedy BUNJOS Comedy.
Got it.
.com. What was your name?
My name's Mary. I missed the what was the Bunjo's Comedy.com?
Yep.
I got that. Okay.
Is it apostrophe?
Yeah, my name's Mary.
Yeah, and if something happens or you get messed up, you can just go to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then should I give you dates that I would like?
You can look on the website or like if you want. Lori Kilmartin's May 8th. That's a Saturday.
Uh huh.
And
but any show that looks like it's a good show for you,
show,
and tell
good.
John how many tickets you want, and he'll make sure that you're all set up. You're going to supply some alcohol too, John? A couple of drinks there?
No, it's against the law, actually.
Is that right?
Yes, the ABC does not allow you to give away alcohol.
Throwing letters like that around?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we'll buy drinks. That's okay.
All right. No,
we got to give you some business, so... great. Okay, I'll just email you then.
Okay, Mary.
Thank you for calling.
What brought you from Boston out to California?
I came out for a college internship in San Francisco and said, well, this is it. I'm a West Coast person trapped in an East Coast body.
Wow. See, I moved out here from Newton, Mass. So.
Newton. Okay. Yeah, I went to Northeastern.
Oh, very nice. Oh, my ex went to Northeastern, too.
It's
a beautiful campus. Yeah, but you're not from... You're from South Dorchester, maybe? Or where are you from
originally? No, I'm from North Everett, right near, Revere.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly's on the beach.
You know, I know it well. I miss it. It's one of the beaches in New England are one of the few places that I actually miss. There's nothing like that out here.
Yeah, I miss. Hey, I found a place that has a lobster roll.
Get out of here. Really?
Half Moon Bay. Sam's Chowder House.
They have lobster?
You have to go.
A lobster roll?
Yep, a overflowing, like, hot dog roll with warm lobster meat.
Like you'd get up and when you go up to Maine. You go up to Maine on the side, little shacks on the side
of
the road.
Just as good as Maine. I was just at Sam's last Tuesday, and it's unbelievable.
All right.
Mary, the way you said warm lobster meat, I don't think now I want to set you up with Mark. I think I'm going to let that pass, and we'll catch you with somebody else.
Well,
all right?
We should have actually found out a little bit more about Mary.
Yeah,
but...
well, you just started talking to her and asked if she was Jewish. That was the most important thing to you, was to ask her whether she was Jewish.
Well, that was just a callback. You know I wanted
no,
to
ask. No, I'm Catholic, being from Boston, you know.
Yeah.
I'm half Irish and half Italian.
And she was conceived a Democrat, so she's not in your league at all, John.
I'm sorry, so. My condolences about Ted Kennedy. Right.
Thank you, Mary. And
then I'm also going to get her Schnauzer Logic Fun Pack.
Okay.
Okay. No, there is no fun pack.
The fun pack's in John's pants.
Yeah, there is.
Okay,
no, don't say
great.
That,
I'll
Parvies.
I'll look for you when I come.
Thank you, Mary. And thanks very much
for calling.
Take care.
All right, go
bye-bye.
Red Sox.
Bye-bye. Yes, go Sox. Bye. All right, we got to take a break here. You're weird.
You got so mad at me, John. She doesn't know about your fun pack. Only I do.
We got to take a break. We're taking a break. We'll be back on the other side. Stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Sitting here on this lonely dock, watch the rain play on the ocean top. Things I feel I need to say, I can't explain in any other way. I need to be bold, need to jump in the cold water, need to grow older with a girl like you. Finally see you were naturally the one to make it so easy when you showed me the truth. Yeah, yeah, I'd rather be with you. And relieve my pain. You're the one thing that I'm missing here. With you beside me, I no longer fear. I need to be bold, need to jump in the cold water, need to grow older with a girl like you. Finally see you were naturally the one to make it so easy when you show me the truth. Yeah, yeah. I'd rather be with you. Say you want the same thing too. I could have saved so much time for us had I seen a way to get to where I am today. You waited on me for so long. Say, I need to be bold, need to jump in the cold water, need to grow older with a girl like you. Finally see you were naturally the one to make it so easy when you show me the truth. Yeah, 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 I'd rather be with you. Say you want the same thing too.
Welcome back. Shalom, my friends. It has been forever since I've played this as bumper music, but for you, I'll make a choice. I'll make a thing. We'll do the stuff.
That's
we'll play
just
the song.
For me.
This is just for you, for John DeCoven. This was not the song we're supposed to be playing. We're supposed to be playing something else, but no, I'm going to play this instead because you have everybody. Are you Jewish? Do you know Jewish people? Do you like Jewish food? Do you eat into Jewish places? Do you have a big nose? Do you have a small schwanz? What? Tell me about this stuff about yourself. So there we go. I sound like Jackie Mason. I don't understand why. My name is Donna Goldstein. I'm a straight white blues vegetarian. Lesbian fraternity boy, chucks in the body of your coming transsexual from time to day, possesses humor, and a bustle of green city planning. All right, welcome back. Son of Easter to John Jewy Jewstein to Coben. Welcome back to Parvati. Are you offended by this being of an Aryan race?
No.
Semitic? Are Iranian people Iranian people are what? They're not Semitic, are they?
Muslims?
Yeah, but that's a religion. But I mean,
anti-Semites?
No. So people from Israel and Palestine and Egypt are Semites, right? They're Semitic. They're all Semitic people. But I don't know that.
But you only think of when you think of anti-Semitic.
But that's not. I'm not going for that. Going for that. They all hail from the same stock, right?
Did you notice, by the way, how you just said
that? Hail. That hail. All right, listen, let's get on to the funny. All right, we're gonna do what? Can I get my lightning round music, please?
Yes, you can get your lightning round music
because we're gonna wrap this thing up really quick.
No, I'm not. Why you have to go?
No, I just thought, like, you know, we're tanking.
No, we're not.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just starting shit. Yes, and god damn
we're
it,
not tanking.
I can't wait to listen to this bad boy.
So I've got some topics for you, John, that I'd like to bring up.
Okay.
And if you don't mind, if you see something that sticks, grab it and pull it off the
and
wall.
Do you also want me to tell if we talked about it last time?
Let me know.
All right, okay. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
All right. Conan's going to TBS. John, Conan's moving to TBS, 11 p.m. starting in November. And the funny thing is that fucker's bumping George Lopez,
right,
but we don't hear shit about it. Right. We don't hear shit about that.
That's not true at all.
Okay,
the
I'm
whole
totally
fucking
wrong.
Story, you are totally wrong.
All right, tell me then. Why am I wrong?
Because the story was that when they brought this deal to Conan, and Conan said, well, don't you have George Lopez on? And they said, we're going to move George Lopez to 11 and to midnight. 12. And Conan said, no fucking way. I am not doing to Lopez
what Leno did to me.
I'm not fucking doing it. I don't care what the deal is. And TBS got Lopez to call Conan and say to him, are you out of your fucking mind? The best thing that could happen to me would be to have you as my fucking lead-in. Right now, I have repeats of sitcoms. I would love to have a solid block of original comedy before my show. Those people will come for you, and they'll stay for me. That would be a 1-2 killer punch. And it was only after he said, listen, you got to do this. This is the right thing to do. This is great for both of us, that he did it. So, yes, you're completely wrong.
Okay.
I'm right, just surprised that he did not go to Fox. I just really thought that's what was going to happen.
I heard TBS, they're not as hard as you. They're not as hard.
Unintentional joke of the day.
No. I heard that TBS ain't as hard on the ratings. And so he can have a million viewers and he's still okay.
Right.
Well, there's two things that are going here, okay? The first thing is that Fox already has network affiliates who have programming from 11 to 12 every night. They mostly have sitcoms and repeats of things of that nature. And they've already sold that programming and they've sold the advertising to go with that programming. So in order for Fox to have moved all of that stuff, they'd have to basically give back the money to the advertisers and then say, listen, buy this new show. They can't at the last minute go in there and substitute out the programming. So they were not going to be able to clear all of the stations, because the stations already had contracts to broadcast these other things. The second thing is exactly what you said, which is because TBS is a cable station, they get their revenue from both advertising and from cable companies that pay them per subscriber. So they have another source of income, so they can have
a million viewers.
So you were
numbers.
Right on one thing
numbers.
And dead wrong on another.
That's
next.
Fine. That's why I bring this up, so you both can clear me up.
All right,
and
we got more to go.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so something interesting. Slash, the guitar player from Guns N' Roses Velvet Revolver, came out with a new record. Guns N' Roses Velvet Revolver.
Oh, Velvet Revolver.
Yeah, so Slash came out with a new record this week, and he's been out promoting it on late nights. He was on Jay Leno Monday night or Tuesday night. Do you know about the interesting thing about that?
No.
He had a pin on his jacket that says, I support Coco, right? And the interesting thing is the camera was never on him. It was on the whole band. Usually it's on the star and they have a close-up. They never gave him a close-up shot the whole time. Because the rumor was that he had a pin saying that, which was interesting to be on Jay Leno's show.
408-335-4755. 408-335-4755.
You could win another pair of tickets.
Another pair of tickets.
Donate. We need to find the cure.
That's right. Exactly. Operators are standing by. 408-335-4755.
If you call now, you can talk to John. He's the biggest celebrity we got.
This lovely football phone can be yours if you call right now.
Please, call right now.
My name is Tambi. I work for Sports Illustrated.
Please. We must find a cure for John's cough. All right. The lady. There was a lady in Tennessee. A lady in Tennessee who...
I know this one.
Who adopted a Russian... I almost said job. A Russian child at the age of 7, 6 months ago.
Right.
Goes to the adoption agency. From what I understand, she goes to Russia to adopt this kid. She spent 3 weeks in Moscow. She spent so many weeks in his home, so many weeks in a bakery, whatever.
Is this Madonna?
No. This is a lady in Tennessee. So she gets this kid back, and she's happy as a clam, right? 6 months later.
Are clams really happy?
Not really. Okay. They're usually underground.
Not in Boston.
No.
But a clam roll?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah. A warm one, too.
A warm clam roll? Thank you, Mary.
So anyways, 6 months later, after this lady brings this kid from Russia, she realizes he's a pain in the ass. He's threatening the family. He's saying mean things. And he's only 7.
In Russian.
Right. And apparently a big Leno fan. Anyone?
No.
Yes, and? Okay. So what she does is she puts a note on his shirt, sends him back to Russia, and the note says...
How did she do that? How did she send him
What do you mean, how'd she do it? She puts him on a plane. She says, I'll be right back. I'm going to get some nuts, and doesn't come back.
No.
Yes.
No.
She puts a note on his shirt.
I hate to even say this part. It's
right. Thank you.
No, really?
Yeah. Why do you not believe me? These are facts that I checked and double-checked.
Say it. Don't spray it, baby.
Sorry, I wasn't sneezing, John. So anyways... This lady, the boy gets sent back to Russia with a note on his shirt that says, I'm a piece of shit and whatever. She comes back home, and now the nerve of people, they want to fucking, they want to get her and put her in jail.
She's definitely going to be put in jail.
That's absurd. The guy was a punk. 7-year-old Russian kid?
Dude, you don't bring a kid into this country and then just schlep him off. That's...
He's not a kid. He's a guy that threatened the family.
He's 7 years old.
He's a 7-year-old guy.
He's okay,
got a beard, a mustache.
Parviz, let me ask you.
He probably does. If you had
a kid that was born here.
My kid.
Would you just throw him on a plane?
He had nowhere to go. He was my kid.
No, but let's say you could throw him on a plane and send him to Russia. Would you do it?
Absolutely. And you know what? It's called those things where you take the kids scared straight. And you put them and they make them do a push-up so they know that life is hard. This little shit has been threatening people, so he deserves to go back on his plane by himself with a note. Absolutely.
He's an orphan. He's got problems.
So what the hell? Guess what? The people in Russia...
She shouldn't have adopted him.
Listen to me. The people in Russia don't like this kid. Pay attention. These people in Russia don't like this kid, and guess what? They lied to her and said, he's fine. They come back here. The kid's not fine. So that's bullshit. They were trying to get rid of him as well. So,
Next.
And their note coming back was in Russian. It's hard to read. Okay, Michael Jackson's doctor. Wait, you don't have nothing to say about the Russian kid?
I got nothing to say about the Russian kid.
All right, got that on tape? Michael Jackson's doctor, for unbelievable, I guess he waited to call the ambulance or the CPR guy, and he was, during that time, he was hiding Playboys. No. He was hiding, like, medicine and syringes and shit like that, right?
Why is this unbelievable? I mean, the guy's
a
scumbag.
Well, first of all right, the guy's a scumbag. He's going to do time. He deserves to do time. Okay?
I think Robin's getting bored.
Oh, come on.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Okay. Not at all.
Not
what are you
all
talking about?
Okay.
Fuck
not
you.
At all. Come on. Thank you, Robin. Thank you for supporting me on this bit here. I have worked on this. Tiger and Jesse James. The interesting thing about Tiger and Jesse James, Tiger comes back and he does the Masters and he does half-cocked, right? Whatever. But he comes in and he does his little press conference and he says, I'm sorry.
I would say that Tiger was full-cocked. And so was Jesse James.
All right. So,
speaking of Jesse James
good.
And Tiger.
I led you into
it. Did I?
You did.
Oh, please. Look.
Okay.
Sir.
Thank
please,
you. Thank
please,
you.
Please. Thank
you. Hugh Hefner. Headline.
Wait, why are we jumping from that
We're
to
not.
Hugh Hefner?
Same thing. Same thing.
Hugh Hefner slams Tiger Woods, Jesse James, and sex addiction. Hugh Hefner has some choice words for Tiger Woods and Jesse James. As previously mentioned, Hef celebrated his 84th birthday over the weekend with Main Squeeze, Crystal Harris, in Las Vegas. Asked by Page Six what he thought of the married cheater, Hef said, "When you get married, you make a commitment. I had a lot of girlfriends, but it's not the same as cheating. I don't cheat. I'm a very open about what I do. Sandra Bullock's husband looks like a real creep. I think that when you are in a relationship, you should be honest. The real immortality of infidelity is the lying." He also talked to Las Vegas columnist Norm. Does he think golfer Tiger Woods can overcome his Playboy transgressions? He can if he wants to, but this whole idea that it's a sex addiction is a cop-out. Some people become obsessed with sex, but it's not like an alcoholic or drug addictor. He did it because he can get away with it. Isn't that interesting? Is that interesting at all? Wow!
Would you have read that? Is that a long enough? Is that too long for you to read?
I was almost getting winded.
I'm wondering. As I was listening, I'm wondering at what point do you go?
He was reading it like he was in an English as a second language class.
That's great, John. That's great. I appreciate that. No, I appreciate that, John. The fact that I can read doesn't impress you. Thanks, John. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, I'll be there to support you. Don't worry.
All right. We got one more story for the
quick fire. No. Several more. Here, listen. Jim Carrey and Jenna Jameson.
I like the fact that you get closer to the microphone. That's really important.
I want to overpower you.
Jim Carrey and Jenna Jameson.
Oh, wait. You know what?
Attention Walmart shoppers.
You know what?
Will all the black customers please stop listening to the podcast? I mean, come on, dude.
Oh, that's funny. See, that's why
you're
the best.
Jim Carrey?
All right. Jim Carrey and Jenny McCartney. McCartney.
They split up,
which is fine. Jim Carrey has some issues about being depression, and she has an autistic kid. All right.
Well, now, wait. Now, let's get back to Carrey. Didn't he also say something kind of was it about Tiger? Do you even know what I'm talking
about? Not at
about?
All.
No, okay.
I didn't even see the fucking video. Tiger
okay.
video.
All right.
All right. The guy who was lighting his shoe on that plane. Remember that dude? That guy was fucking around. He was in a bathroom and he starts lighting his shoe and he comes out. And he's like, "What?" And what
the Russian diplomat.
Yeah, the Russian diplomat. That's awesome. This guy's fucking around with us and testing us. Fuck him.
Diplomatic immunity.
All right. John Tesh, this white guy, this ogre, this fucking
Lurch.
Frankenstein
Lurch.
Yeah. Right? He dated Oprah Winfrey in the 70s.
Wait, John Tesh?
Yes,
like
the piano guy? Yeah. He dated Oprah Winfrey in 19... 19-
Actually, you're thinking of Billy Joel. He was a piano man.
Right. No, but Tesh, wasn't he on like
entertainment? He's got a minute and 30 before we go to the break, so just keep talking.
Okay.
I'll turn his mic
off. John Tesh dated Oprah Winfrey and actually lived with her for like 3 months of their life in the late 70s when they were living together in some apartment, whatever. I don't know. Kitty Kelly is the author of this Oprah tell-all book, and apparently John Tesh did come out and say, "Yep, she's right." So we did fuck around and we had some moments. John Tesh was quoted as saying,
"Yes,
Oprah in the morning looks like a catcher's mitt." Go ahead.
But Oprah gave Diane Sawyer a diamond toe ring. Did you hear about this?
No.
I mean, the revelations are unbelievable. Winfrey concocted stories about sexual abuse she suffered as a child and grossly exaggerated the poverty that she was in. She went great lengths to conceal her lesbian affairs, including hefty payoffs. Publicly attached herself to Graham in order to appear Stedman Graham. Winfrey sold her body to earn extra money and even been described as a teen prostitute.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Those must have been slow times.
She doesn't
times.
Know the true identity of her own biological father, and her relationship with her own mother is so cold that she won't even give the older woman her own phone number. Although we'd be happy to have her call us here at 408-335-4755.
Now, Sigourney Weaver, this is really, really interesting. Please.
All right.
Sigourney Weaver, James Cameron lost. This is what she said. James Cameron lost the Oscar because he didn't have breasts. Now, let me read this. It's really fast. While promoting Avatar in Brazil over the weekend, Sigourney Weaver slammed the Academy for voting for The Hurt Locker and Catherine Bigelow. She said James Cameron lost to his ex-wife because she's a woman who became the first ever to take home the Best Director's Oscar. Jim didn't have breasts, and I think that was the reason she told the newspaper. He should have taken home the Oscar. Now, first of all...
Is he still trying to tell me he knows how to read because...
Yeah.
I want to apologize to you personally for putting up such a long article with so many words.
This was long.
And not enough pictures.
Listen.
And too many subjects.
First of all, Avatar should not have won the Oscar because it's a fucking cartoon. All right? The reason he won Titanic was because the shit really happened. The fucking ship went in the sea, right? Blue people, 10 feet tall. This is bullshit. The Hurt Locker is a hell of a lot more important. The Hurt Locker, for those of you that don't know it, it's a movie about the altar boys changing rooms.
Wow.
Thank you very much. I'm here all week. Buncho!
He'll be there.
Holy shit, come on. You got to admit, that was funny. I just wrote that. The Hurt Locker is a movie about altar boys changing rooms. Come on. That's topical because didn't we have the Pope on Easter talking about not talking about it? Come on.
Clean up on aisle 7. Can we have a clean up on aisle 7, please? We have a spilled liquid. Clean up on aisle 7.
Check
clean
one,
up.
Two, one,
you're
going to
honestly say, you're going to honestly say that wasn't hilarity. I know right now Mark's cracking up.
I'm pretty sure I'm never going to say it was
Mark
hilarity.
Has actually just right now pulled over his plane.
He's going to walk. Pulled over, he's going to walk.
You know what? He just fucking set off that parachute. He said, fuck it, I'm going home.
I like the idea that you can have a parachute that takes the whole plane.
But why would you want the whole... I would think you'd want to be separate and just get
the
fuck away.
Because he spent freaking forever to build this thing out of styrofoam.
Okay.
Isn't it funny he said he was building it in his garage? How big is his freaking garage?
Well, it's probably bigger than the studio.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's it. Thank you.
Well, there you go. The lightning round of Parviz Vitaly.
Did you like my Hurt Locker joke? You want to use it on stage?
It was
it's
good.
Topical.
Just, it actually made no sense, but your timing was good, so that's why I laughed.
It made no sense.
That's the kind of comedy you'll hear at Bunjo's.
I think actually you should do a little set when you come out.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Are you coming out?
Of what?
All right, we'll take a break. We'll play a tune. Boyana sent us some pop music from Bulgaria. I think we ought to play one of those songs, all right? You guys are both leaned back at this point. You're not anywhere near the fucking mic. You're not even in the same fucking time zone as the mic
at this point.
I'm clocking
out.
Johnny,
I said,
I don't fucking care what you have to say. We're going to play some tunes. We'll come back on this side. Listen to Schnauzelot, Robin Goldstein, blah, 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 blah. Stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. We're, I don't know, about 15 minutes. It's our last segment of Schnauzer Logic, our big 80th show, recorded on Wednesday, the 14th of April, 2010. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal. www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com, 408-335-4755. In case you want to be part of this last segment, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. Thank you, Boyana. Our own Boyana sent me some Bulgarian pop rock techno-y kind of thing, so
nice.
I think we'll mix that in there every week. I like that a lot. Television. We didn't talk. Well, we talked a little television during the last break, the whole Conan thing. But tonight, the 200th episode of South Park. You mentioned that last night Glee had returned
Glee's
to the
back.
Earth. Glee's coming back.
You haven't seen Glee, right?
Never. 24. Count down to the very end of 24, and it's not coming back again.
Nope.
You don't watch? You're not a 24 fan?
Not a 24.
Have you heard, or are you a fan of the Cleveland Show? Have you heard of his doing good rating wise?
I do know the Cleveland Show. It's from Seth MacFarlane,
right.
who does Family Guy. I find it not to be funny.
I don't like it at all.
I don't find it to be funny. I don't like the characters. I don't like the voices.
Seth MacFarlane was actually interviewed, and he said that he initially wanted to do a what's that guy's name? The guy in Family Guy, the pedophile.
I don't watch Family Guy.
Oh, shoot.
The old man?
No.
Quagmire?
Yeah, Quagmire. So he
Quagmire's not a pedophile.
Okay, but hold on. Can I speak?
Well, not if you get the facts completely wrong.
Okay,
you
but you'll understand when I speak.
Okay.
Okay. He was being interviewed. He was being interviewed. That's actually very good.
Thank
he
you.
He was being interviewed, and he said he didn't think that America would watch a half-hour show about a pedophile.
Okay.
That's why the show isn't about Quagmire,
is that,
which I think is hilarity. I love Quagmire.
So is the Cleveland about a pedophile?
No, Cleveland's a boring black dude.
Yeah, so anyways.
Can I come back next week?
I know nobody here watches Lost, but we are
down
still
out
to,
in my mind, really.
We've got 5 episodes left of Lost. I wish, I seriously would pay $1,000 right now if they would just give me all 5 episodes so I can watch.
You
them.
Love it that much?
Oh, it's so great.
Really?
Really?
It's a great show.
I don't know. There aren't that many shows that I feel that way about.
Yeah. But wow, I mean, you really love it. You look forward to it every week?
Yeah, because it's always a twist and you don't know what's going to happen. Then it leaves you waiting for the next week.
Wow, very cool.
Show's all about.
Is it supposed to be that there's a thing on the island, an alien or something?
Well, I can't explain it all here, Barbies.
Can we get his own segment, please?
No. He has a segment. Bunjos, when are we coming up to do your show, by the way?
Oh, March 14th, I think.
No, not March.
Oh, May 14th.
We would have missed that already.
May 14th.
And it was great.
Yeah.
You should have been there. May 14th.
Yes.
So didn't you just invite Mary to May 14th? Wasn't that
no.
the woman from Hoboken? What's her name?
Lori Kilmartin.
Yeah, Lori
Kilmartin. She's the 8th.
Oh, she's the 8th.
Right.
But you did say Mary should be there on the 14th.
No, I actually didn't.
Oh,
but when
play
I
back
contact
the tape. Play
her,
back the tape.
Okay, but when I contact her, I'll tell her to come on the 14th, too.
Well, she should give her a lifetime pass to Bunjos.
Sure, why not? Why not?
Doctor Who, are you a Doctor Who fan?
No.
You've heard of Doctor Who?
Yep.
You have heard of Doctor Who. All right. The new version of Doctor Who has just started in the UK.
Maybe we have a caller.
Schnauzer Logic. Hello, Schnauzer Logic.
Hi, it's Jeff. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Jeff Mer, ladies
and
gentlemen. Jeff,
the non-Jew.
Oh, I must have the wrong number. I apologize.
It's not
How are you guys
funny.
Doing today?
We're doing great. We're glad to have you here on the phone with us. Jeff Moranis, who has never been in the studio at the same time as Parviz Fatale.
We're the same person. It's like Janet and Michael Jackson. Although now that Janet's still walking around, that's probably easier to prove there were two people.
How do we know that's really Janet, though?
Yeah, actually, good point.
And is Elvis still alive?
Elvis is not alive.
No.
All right. So we're sorry that you weren't able to join us today.
You're not sorry. You guys are probably having a great time.
Well,
it's been a very, very fun afternoon.
It's been an entertaining
show. A lot of
show.
Tickling.
Some cuddles. No, it's been a very entertaining show. We just started to talk about, or I just started to talk about something that nobody was interested in, which is the new series of Doctor Who. Are you a fan of the Who Meister?
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not going to help you out.
Robin, let me ask
that's
you.
All right. That's
let me
fine.
Ask
that's
you right. quickly because Julie was asking me because when we were listening to a
Julie,
show,
Julie, your fiance,
my fiance, because we when always
still on? When are you
we
married?
Listen yes. to past shows a lot of times together.
I give this marriage 6 months.
And she was asking, how do you watch all these shows in the UK? And I don't you do like some torrents or how do you?
Yeah, so I watch okay. the shows in the UK one of two ways. I watch them either on BitTorrents that I download.
Right.
Or I have a virtual private network that I subscribe to that gives me a UK IP address that makes it look like I'm living in the UK.
Ooh.
And it's a small number of dollars a month. And so when I then log in, it looks they like I'm logging in and from someplace in the middle of London.
So and that can be done in the reverse, I assume?
And it can be done in the reverse as well.
Because her,
if you're into that, yes.
Well, because... Very good.
Same company.
Well,
because
her son, who
company's
lives
called
over...
UKI VPN. You don't have to write it down. I'll give it to you later. It's
no,
UKI VPN, and they have all kinds of little packages. And okay. So I like them very much. They've got great tech support, and they provide two-way things, so you're not geo-bound.
Okay, and the torrent.
How is this interesting to Jeff Moranis, who's actually like pulled out of a meeting?
I'm sorry, I just because when you're talking about seeing those shows,
yeah, I'm on a bathroom break, so we gotta make this quick. Otherwise, you're gonna think it's number two, and it's gonna be really weird when we're shaking hands.
Are you still in a meeting?
No, we just wrapped up.
Did you? Are you gonna go out to dinner with these guys?
You guys talking about the iPad?
No, we're talking about stuff that I can't talk about. How's that sound?
Hey, you see the Tiger Woods video?
Oh, God, I hope there's not one.
See?
There's one club that I don't want to see him use, and it's that one.
You see? Haven't seen the Nike Tiger Woods video?
Oh, that's horrific. Yeah, shame on them. Did they do a Jordan one once his dad died where he's like, I will pay my gambling debts. I will not tell people, put it on my tab. I mean, why would they get involved? Why are they anchoring him like that?
I don't know. But here, as amazing as the story is that Nike convinced Tiger to do that, the more amazing story is Parviz hasn't seen it.
Oh, good for you, Parviz.
Thank
yes,
you. Thank
on
you.
Purpose. Right.
Stay gold, pony boy.
Where's that from? I know that.
The Outsiders.
Okay.
It's C. Thomas Howell's last good movie.
All right.
First and last good movie.
See Thomas Howell.
Jeff,
it was actually a book by S.E. Hinton before it got turned into a movie, so I guess I should credit it correctly.
He would if Jeff were interested, he would have read the entire
Jeff, have you seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
No, I'm thinking about it, though, because everyone's telling me Hot Tub Time Machine.
It's hilarious.
And the TV is telling me that Kick-Ass is pretty good. But I got to tell you that jump in topics. Robin told me to go see, and here we go, plugging away, Invention of Lying.
Oh, the Ricky Gervais film.
Yeah, I saw it kicking and screaming. I'm like, it's going to be stupid, like that stupid Greg Kinnear thing that he did.
Yeah.
And I wet my pants. Like, the whole thing was the Coke ad, everything, which is brilliant. It's a really good little movie.
Yeah, John.
That is one of only two movies I've ever walked out on in my life.
And the other
well,
one.
That's why I'm not there, because we just don't get along. I apologize.
I understand. I understand.
You didn't think Pepsi, when there's no Coke, isn't funny?
No, I thought the first 20 to 30 minutes was funny, and then it just...
All right, well, truth be told,
you need to go see this movie to break the tie.
But I'm laughing up.
I do. I'm interested in seeing it, but I...
I'll even pay.
Is it about what subject? Because I tell you, if it doesn't jump around, I'm not sticking into the theater.
Well, here's what you guys should see, and then I'm done plugging stuff. Someone just sent it to me because I'm at the office, so now it's like I'm connected because this is what we do all day. I just sent it to Robin on our iChat. Someone just sent me the trailer for the Star Wars Uncut movie, which is just the mashup of the 500 independent little frame-by-frame movies people have made of it. So it's the movie, but they just keep swapping in someone else's version. So it goes from like Lego people to people in bathrobes to people taking it way seriously to origami, but frame by frame it's exactly the same movie. It's pretty clever to watch.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, well, back to Doctor Who. No, and detectives wearing scarves.
Okay. Fuck you.
No, I'm happy to. I got it.
Robin's like, let me show you how the hang up feature works on Schnauzer Logic.
No, that's all right. Hey, listen, you're the. This is more calls than we've had.
I know.
It's exciting when you have callers.
We got three calls today.
We got three calls today, and I tell you, if we don't keep this train rolling, we're not going to have three every week. This is exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
This is the kind of radio that people would listen to if it were shorter and more interesting.
And it had more subjects.
in a smaller amount of time. Yeah. All right. What do you have on tap for this coming week, sir, on the phone? Moranis?
Oh, back to me? Yeah, I'm shooing people out of my office because I'm trying to tell them I'm on an important call.
Oh, is that right? All right. Well, we can. Anyhow.
It's good. No, this weekend's great. What the hell am I doing? I'm going to Vegas.
Get out of here.
Nice.
That's what I'm doing. I've got friends in town. A good friend of mine does really well at the Bellagio. He was way up last time. They've invited him back to try to get their money back, and we're all going with him.
This is the guy you did New Year's there with?
I did Super Bowl.
You did Super Bowl with this guy.
This guy's
a high roller. This guy is Mr. Comp. This guy is Mr. Sweet.
Yes.
This guy
if
is.
You wanna, if you can't be John, the next best thing is being this guy Greg, because it's a good life.
Ooh, we got a first name.
Yeah. Okay. He doesn't need free tickets to Bunjo's.
No.
All right.
Well, he'd be comped.
How often do you see? I mean, this is pretty cool. So you're a multi-time a year Vegas kind of guy. I had no idea.
I am a multi, but it's not as cool. You know the character in The Hangover that no one gives a shit about, and you're just like, why is this guy on screen? That's me. Like, I'm just kind of there, and that's it.
My friends do pretty well,
and I just ride along with them.
Who was that
I say
character?
Wolfpack a couple of times.
I forgot. Are you married?
Badly. Great topic.
And do you... Oh, wait, you're going through a divorce, right?
I guess so.
Okay,
in
well,
the same
anyways,
way that someone goes through a brick wall.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, do you go to Vegas without female companionship initially, I'm assuming?
You really got to rub it in. Everyone's in Vegas with female companionship.
No, but but female companionship can be obtained in Vegas. I'm just saying you initially are not.
Oh yeah, you don't.
You're not going with a wife or a girlfriend, is what I'm saying.
I guess no.
Which would be a good thing. I'm not so.
Because
three guys and one suite is awesome. So girls wouldn't help.
No, though the better thing is to let John talk over all your funny lines because he's here and louder. I need to. The comedy is clearly in the mix. He had all this funny shit that he was throwing in there. You can't hear.
I only called to meet Parviz and listen
can
to
you
him
not
talk.
Hear him?
Thank you, my friend.
Telling me what
thank
I
you.
Missed.
Can you not
he's
hear
like
him?
A mouse.
I didn't talk.
Well,
over him.
I can't talk over any of these people.
Oh,
are you serious? You didn't talk
but
over
I tell
him?
You, I'll tell you, I do want to see meet you in person and do a show because I heard you're hilarious.
Wait.
I'm really
this whole fucking thing about did you hear you don't have to wait to go to Vegas anymore to get to pay for a girl?
Robin, we have to relive it.
That was him.
No, that was him talking.
Parviz is like, oh, that thing we weren't laughing at the first time.
That thing, we have to relive that moment. Great.
Just cut my line out.
Yeah.
So what did I miss on the show today? I'm not going to listen to it later.
A lot of this.
Yeah, a lot of me reading shit that Parviz wasn't interested enough to read himself and was not as interested in hearing me read for him.
Me? What about John? He never read it either.
Yeah, but I
did
expect
Jeff?
More from you.
No, you don't.
You didn't read my Oberman piece, did you?
Oh, I hate being put on the spot. No. Can I look it up real quick?
No. That's
wait, are
fun.
You Oberman?
No. Fuck you. It's interesting.
Read it again, Rob.
Oh, God. Crap. We got this on tape. All right. That's good. It's called Wrapping It Up.
Wrapping It Up. That's how you hang up on someone.
No, this is the end of the show. You've come for the cast party. This is perfect.
That's the only. Yeah, that's the only.
When are we going to see you next?
Hey! We got him on the phone here. Toyota now having to fucking deal with the Consumer Reports saying that their SUV is turning over at the touch of a feather. Is this piling on, or is this the real deal? I mean, this is like the fucking.
This is piling on. You can make anything flip over, and this is an easy one that everyone's finding momentum for, and everyone's kind of making a name out of it.
So who's behind this? Because I know that you believe that this is really being directed. So who's behind trying to basically put him out of business here?
I think there's too many people that don't realize how much they play for the home team when they're kind of in these jobs that are supposed to be impartial, and there's just too much traction. There's you know, like I said, GM recalled 1.7 million vehicles in the time that this stuff's been going on. No one's been talking about that. So, you know, it's easy fodder. It gets a lot of attention. It gets people promotions, I'm sure. And so now they're going to look at everything. It's kind of like the, I can't think of it, what the hell it was. Now I'm being no help at all. The stupid thing with the firm with Tom Cruise when he's like, look, it's not sexy, but, you know, they've got, we can look up, I'm never calling in again, by the way.
Tom Clancy.
Are you trying to imitate Parviz?
Excuse me? No. Excuse me, John? That tone is all you.
But I'll say it correctly this time. In the firm, that scene where Tom Cruise is convincing Ed Harris that these aren't sexy charges, but it's enough to put him away, and it gets people looking at the whole inner dealings of this firm. It's like everyone's looking at Toyota now, so they're just going to look at everything, and rollover scores are going to get kind of more scrutinized than the whole thing. It's unfortunate because, again...
That we had to sit through it.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. I really appreciate you calling in today. Jeff
Thanks,
Moran,
Jeff.
Ladies and gentlemen, who called
hey,
in.
Hey, thanks, too. Guys, for having me for 2 seconds.
Are we going to see you soon?
You guys later. All right.
And, what?
Are we going to see him soon? Jeff.
Yeah. Whenever he's able to make it, you're able to make it.
I didn't hear the answer.
It.
That's why I asked.
Well, it's because John was talking over him. All right.
You guys are great.
Thank you, my friend. I'll probably see you tomorrow, actually, okay?
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks again for putting up with me.
All right. Hey, thank you. No, thanks for being part of the show. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. And
this show is...
So that's a record for phone calls, isn't
this
it?
This show is a perfect example of you can never have too much to say because you never know who's going to call and screw it all up.
Oh, I know. I know.
Right? We had fun callers. This was
fun callers.
Fun callers.
Well, thank you for coming on out to do the show this week.
I want to thank you, Robert, for always being grateful and thankful that I show
am.
Up.
I am
but then you look
thankful.
At the camera and you go, I don't know why he says these things.
And
you know damn well why I say these things.
I do know why you say these things. And I want to thank the gentleman who played the role of John DeCoven today.
Thank you. Thank you.
John DeCoven, Mr. John DeCoven himself.
I would honestly do this every day if we could.
Yeah, I don't think we have that many callers.
It's very cathartic.
You've said that before.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cathartic?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like emptying out your Kool-Aid.
And I don't feel so sad about me and my life after that. All right. And there you go. So next week, we'll try to do 81, right?
All right.
That's a good number.
It's a good number.
Hopefully, Sherry will be back. There have been smatterings of Sean throughout the Twitterverse, the universe. We've seen Sean on Facebook sneaking up here and there, and in Twitter as well. So maybe we'll drag his sorry ass back, even if it's just on the phone, to do a Moranis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Really? You can't fucking hold out for another minute and 2 seconds?
No, I just...
Really?
I
just you don't fucking have
you're
it
You're talking about the same subject.
Change the subject. You're
Neil Armstrong. What about Neil Armstrong complaining about Obama's plan for the moon? And we're out of time. All right. SchnauzerLogic.com 408-335-4755 during the week. You can call that number and you can leave messages and we'll play them on the air.
This poor horn player, he's running out. He's like he's like, hurry it up.
I'm running out of notes.
Actually,
we're out of fucking time. Okay. Don't start another time. You can't you hear the music?
You know, poor horn guy.
Wait, really? Oh god,
the horn guy's like, I gotta go home.
I'm nervous. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up, pay attention. Tell the truth and don't be attached to the outcome. And we'll be back next week. Good Lord, don't the creek dome and then the blah 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 and all that good stuff. All right, take care. All right, thank you, Johnny D. Bye bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here. It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.
Nope, I like that.
Anybody find me somebody to
love?
Oh, but you gotta make a
call. Like to make a call, please.
I wanna make a call.
All right.
Each morning I get out my dialect. Can barely stand on my feet.
Take a look at yourself.
but you're dead in the air. I have spent all my years in believing you, but I just can't get no relief, Lord. Somebody, somebody, ooh, somebody, somebody, can anybody find me? Every day of my life, I work till I ache my bones. At the end
of the day,
I take home my heart away.
Goes on,
I'm tired out, my knees and eyes straight away. Till the tears run down from my eyes.
Lord,
somebody,
somebody,
ooh, somebody.
Somebody to love, find me somebody.